From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. This week, the U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee is continuing to consider the nomination of federal judge Ketanji Brown Jackson to the U.S. Supreme Court. A committee vote is scheduled for next week, with a full Senate expected to vote after that. Today, we're going to get a couple of different perspectives from Illinois on Judge Jackson's nomination and confirmation hearings. And we begin with Dekenya Nixon, an assistant public defender in Cook County. We last spoke with her last summer after she'd written an essay arguing that rising crime in places like Chicago should not lead to more policing. I was especially interested in hearing what Nixon had to say because much has been made of Judge Jackson's work as a public defender. Dekenya Nixon, welcome back to The 21st Show.
Thank you very much. I'm so happy to be here.
Listeners, because Nixon is scheduled to be in court when you're actually hearing this, we tape this conversation Tuesday afternoon, so we're not taking calls, but you can always let us know what you thought by emailing us. The address is on our website, 21stshow.org. So let's begin with your overall reaction to Judge Jackson's nomination. What do you think of the president's selection?
I think it was a very smart selection. Personally, I was excited when it came out that this was the president's nominee. She is everything that I hope to be when I grow up, so to speak. So just looking at her credentials and everything that she's gone through, I think she would be an excellent Supreme Court justice.
So I want to play a piece of tape. During last week's hearings, Senator Cory Booker talked about getting emotional just looking at Judge Jackson.
You're a person that is so much more than your race and gender. You're a Christian, you're a mom, you're an intellect, you love books. But for me, I'm sorry, it's hard for me not to look at you and not see my mom, not to see my cousins, one of them who had to come here and sit behind you. She had to have your back. I see my ancestors and yours. You have earned this spot. You are worthy. You are a great American. So you got five more folk to go through. Five more of us. They're going to accuse you of this and that. Heck, in honor of your person who shares your birthday, you might be called a communist. But don't worry, my sister. Don't worry. God has got you. And how do I know that? Because you're here. And I know what it's taken for you to sit in that seat.
Those comments were widely shared on social media. I wonder if they resonated with you.
Absolutely. And they resonate with me even in the moment that you replayed that. And it does make me emotional. As a Black woman who, you know, is practicing law, it is extremely difficult. And I have even recognized that here in Chicago, while I am surrounded by a plethora of other Black women who are practicing criminal law, we understand that in the grand scheme of things, there's very few of us. And so in the beginning, when you asked me about President Biden's nomination, what I felt about it, I did not want to reduce it to, yes, finally a Black woman, because she is so much more than that. Her credentials speak for herself. But to finally see a Black woman being considered to the highest court in the land is very emotional. It is, you know, when we say that I am my ancestors' wildest dream, this is the wildest dream come true. And so it does make me very emotional when I hear people, you know, speak poorly of her as if she does not deserve to be there, as if she has not put in the work. That as if she has not been, you know, fighting the good fight for all these years, it does make me emotional because I feel that some of that is coming from a very ugly place. And we're not just talking about who she is and what she's done, but we're talking about her being a Black woman.
It's interesting that you say even in Chicago. Can you say more about that? I mean, because it is a city. I mean, there's a Black woman as mayor right now. A Black woman is the Cook County State's Attorney. But even there, you feel like it's challenging at times.
It is, absolutely. Across the board, there aren't that many, you know, Black women who are practicing law. But then when you reduce it to criminal law, aren't that many women, Black women doing that either. And so on the outside, you see Chicago and you see all the heads of, you know, these different organizations are being ran by Black women. But this is still very much, at least the law game is still very much an older white man's game. And it's nothing that falls on deaf ears. We feel it in the various, you know, courthouses and courtrooms that we walk into. We're still very mindful. At least I had this conversation the other day with another Black female attorney. We're still very mindful of how we present ourselves in court, you know, to make sure that our, you know, hair is not offensive, that our style of dress is not offensive, or even the tone that we carry is not offensive, because we do not want to be looked at as, you know, being something other than an attorney.
Oh, wow. A lot has been made about the fact that Judge Jackson has significant experience as a public defender. I think she was a federal public defender from 2005 to 2007. And I read where she would be the first justice to have significant experience representing indigent defendants since Thurgood Marshall, who retired in 1991. I wonder what significance, if any, you assign to that aspect of her background.
It excites me because I know that we will have, you know, representation on the Supreme Court that will understand what people go through who are mostly affected by the decisions that they make. And what I mean by that is that, you know, there are all these cases that go up on appeal and then finally make it hopefully to the Supreme Court. And the decisions that are made affects everyone else. And when we talk about criminal law, most of those people who are affected are going to be the indigent people, because for some reason that seems to be all that is mostly arrested and charged with felony and misdemeanor offenses. Not to say that people who, you know, are not indigent do not have issues with the criminal justice system, but the vast majority of them are, you know, people of very little means. And so having a Supreme Court justice who understands that and understands what is happening on the ground, and having experience firsthand, I think will make the Supreme Court a better informed and well-rounded court system when they make their decisions on certain cases.
There's a pretty well-established pipeline for people who are prosecutors, state's attorneys, to become judges. Do you find a lot of judges who have public defender or significant public defender experience in their background?
In Chicago, for the past, I want to say, two elections, there's been this movement where a lot of former public defenders or public defenders are becoming judges, and they're being elected into the seats instead of like appointed or anything. So it's a very interesting time here in Chicago, because over the last few elections, the people who have been elected have public defense backgrounds versus your typical route of I'm a state's attorney and now I want to be a judge. And so I feel like the voters here in Chicago are recognizing the significance of having, you know, someone with a criminal defense background on the bench, you know, to hear the cases and everything. So it's been very interesting here in Chicago. I don't know if that movement has happened all across the United States, but it's definitely a positive movement here.
How does that change or affect, right? Because I think a judge would say, well, we apply the law to the facts to achieve a just result, right? I've heard that countless times from judges across the spectrum. But how does that experience affect a judge's, you know, mode of being in the courtroom, maybe?
From what I've seen, I think they try to make the courtroom a more equitable place. So it is not so much you were arrested and charged, therefore you're guilty. It is, you're in this courtroom, I'm going to hear all the facts and the evidence and make the fairest, most just decision. And then it also comes down to if this person has been found guilty, what their sentencing will be. And then so I think judges who have the criminal defense background are more likely to listen to all of the mitigating factors prior to sentencing someone versus this is the charge that you were charged with, therefore, this is your sentence. So I don't want anyone to take away that people who have public defense backgrounds who become judges are going to be soft on crime. We've actually experienced the opposite of that. I think because we, as public defenders, understand, sometimes our clients. So we look at the evidence on a different scale than just, okay, this is what the prosecutor is saying. We also want to listen to, you know, what the defense is saying as well. I will say that I have, as a defense attorney, experienced a sense of inclusion, meaning that my arguments are actually being heard versus sometimes I could be talking to a brick wall.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We won't name names, I guess.
No.
In the time we have remaining, you mentioned that phrase, soft on crime. I think that's something we're going to hear a lot about in this coming election year. And how many years have you been a public defender now?
16.
Okay. So you have been through this experience of, still coming out of the 90s, Class X, tough on crime, mandatory minimums. And then there was this sort of bipartisan consensus. Governor Rauner, a Republican, impaneled this reform commission, and the prison population really started going down. It feels like we're now seeing the pendulum swing back toward, at least from the political standpoint. I wonder, how do you see this, swing of the pendulum, if you will?
So I have not experienced this phenomenon they talk about being soft on crime. People who, are being found guilty of, their crimes are being sentenced appropriately. I think now what's happening is that people are given opportunities to maybe not become convicted felons by taking part in different types of probations that will allow them to get the conviction either expunged once they successfully complete the probation or once they complete it, the charge is dismissed against them. It takes approximately 2 years to finish these types of probations. There are all different types of conditions that they have to abide by. They cannot pick up any new cases. So it's not just you're on probation, be good for 2 years. It is you're on probation and you have all these conditions and requirements that you have to meet. And then if you successfully complete it, then you will not become a convicted felon. So I have not experienced the soft on crime idea that people are talking about. I think I've experienced quite the opposite as far as sentencing is concerned, because there are some cases where there are mandatory minimums that their hands are tied. If someone is found guilty of a particular crime that has a mandatory minimum, then that is what they have to, the rule that they have to abide by. And so most recently I had a client that was found guilty of an armed robbery and a battery with a firearm and ended up being sentenced. So the minimum on the armed robbery with the firearm was 21 years. And he ended up being sentenced to 28 years combined with the two charges. And I had, some people in public or some defense attorneys who were all just like, that's murder time. Sometimes if someone is charged with murder, you can get a plea agreement where that person, gets some, time frame in the 20s versus, my guy did not kill anyone. And he's sitting there for 28 years, having to serve that sentence at 85%. So that's a lot of time. And I know armed robberies are not, I'm not saying like he deserved to be out in 2 or 3 years, but getting that type of time is, it's a lot for what he, was found guilty of. And part of that is because the judge had no options but to start off at 21. And she, decided to go up a little bit after that.
Wow. Much has been made of this idea of the progressive prosecutor nowadays, right? Not just in Chicago and Cook County, but across the country. Do you feel that from your role in the criminal justice system?
There is absolutely a difference. And I think it's a difference for the better. So I remember back in the early days of my career working with state's attorneys that their boss was not progressive. And she was very much everybody should go to prison for every single thing. And it was, I call it a very dark time. It was very stressful on my part. You could see it on the state's attorney's parts. It was like their hands were tied. They have to do this, whether they believed in it or not. So it was a constant fight every day. So we have, Kim Fox, who is been labeled as a progressive state's attorney, I think has created a culture within her office that gives the state's attorneys in the courtrooms more control over the cases. So before it was, oh, my supervisor said I can't do this, and if I do it, I'm going to get fired. Now it is they are actually thinking for themselves and talking to the, you know, purported victims and making equitable offers so everyone, you know, comes out in a better position. Also, there have been more programs put in place because, you know, and back in the day, you had a lot of people going to prison for drug possession when they have a disease. They are drug users. And so why are we criminalizing them for having this addiction? So now there are, you know, programs that the state attorney's office has put into place to help people with those addictions so they are not going to prison, but they're actually receiving services. And so that has been a change. And the culture within that office, within the courtrooms, has completely changed for the better, I think.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us again today on the 21st Show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Takenya Nixon is an assistant public defender in Cook County. More to come after a short break. Stay with us.